Okay, folks, I have 7 o'clock. Please stand for the pledge and prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for granting us the privilege to meet tonight. We ask for your blessing, wisdom, and guidance as we conduct the business of the village. Amen.
Roll call.
Chayton?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Gordonberger?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Lusk? Lusk is absent.
I'll entertain a motion to excuse Councilman Lusk. He is ill.
Motion to excuse Councilman Lusk.
Second.
Gordonberger?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Chayton?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep. Okay, prior to tonight's meeting, you were all provided with a copy of the minutes of the September 28th, 2020 regular council meeting. If there are no corrections to the minutes, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Motion to approve.
Second.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Maurer?
Yes.
Chayton?
Yes.
Gordonberger?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Okay, under correspondence, I've just got a couple pieces. Received a mailing from TC Energy on pipeline emergency response information. It's about a 10-page booklet. I will give that to the village administrator for his records. Also received a card from Alan and Irene Miller on behalf of the Methodist Church. Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, we have allowed the Methodist Church to hold outdoor services at the park, and it's a thank you card signed by the folks from the Methodist Church thanking us for allowing them to conduct their church services in the park during the pandemic. I believe they're back inside now, and we've got colder weather, so on and so forth, so they have thanked us for that. Okay, we have two folks to address council tonight, and ask that address a little history behind it. Last week, Mayor Mills, along with the county commissioners, had set up a meeting to discuss the possibility of making a change with the building inspectors who handle the commercial buildings in the village, as well as the county and the city and other villages throughout. So I've asked both Chris Wilson with Southeastern Ohio Building Department to make a presentation, as well as our incumbent inspector, Jason Bauman, with Mid-East Ohio Building Department. I'm going to give each of them 5 to 7 minutes to make a presentation. In your packets, you each have a copy of their material to review. And after each makes their presentation, I'll allow a short period of time if any of the council members have any questions. And then we'll go into further discussion after we get through our regular agenda items under other business, if we so choose to do so. Okay, with that said, Chris Wilson, you're up first, Southeastern Ohio Building Department. Chris, the council members have been given a copy of the material that you forwarded to us, and they have it in front of them. So with that, I'll give you the floor.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate it. Council, I appreciate you giving me a few minutes this evening to speak with you directly. Although it be COVID-like, I do appreciate the fact that you are still conducting business as best as you can. Last year, in 2019, I did reach out to the city of Coshocton and Coshocton County and the other municipalities as well and suggested a possible transition to Southeast Ohio Building Department. During that time, I kind of laid out the infrastructure that we had in place, which was the online submission as well as electronic plan reviews, the northern office in Cambridge. And in 2019, it was determined that there would not be a change, which I can understand. I know that the city of Coshocton was strongly interested in it. However, Mayor Mercer at the time was given information that there would be electronic plan review capabilities by the first of 2020. Mayor Mills and I had a conversation probably about 4 months ago to address the up-and-coming 3-for-3 in Coshocton County, which I believe Lafayette will end up having some additional information brought to them as well, because it's more of a county-wide effort versus just a city-wide effort to try to bring in both advancement and technologies to the county. And that's kind of where my office comes into play. For the last 5 years, we have been doing electronic inspections, as well as within the last 3 years, we've gone to probably 95% electronic plan submissions. And what that helps with is those that do development, they can actually submit drawings from anywhere in the country or around the world in real time to them, to us. We do the reviews and we get them back out, and the efficiency and less of cost for paper and shipping is a benefit, especially if you've got larger projects where you've got real-time activity that's happening with it. Now, the smaller projects, that's where Mayor Mills' suggestion has piqued my interest, as well as our county commissioners. We have a Cambridge office currently, but that lease is coming due, and it's a good possibility if the city of Coshocton signs on, as well as Coshocton County, we would have a Coshocton office located in the city of Coshocton. So those that do development in the village of West Lafayette would be able to, within 10 minutes, be at the building department to make paper submission if they want to. But we always strongly suggest the electronic because it is more efficient so that we can actually get it turned around and take care of for you in that regard. So that, I mean, that's the nutshell. You know, 5 minutes is short to really give a full explanation. The one thing that I would like those that are on council, if we met face to face, you may actually recognize me. I know just about everybody on council. I am an 88 graduate of Ridgewood. I still live in Coshocton County and don't intend to move at any point in time. That's one of the differences between the agencies. Although I worked for Mideast Ohio for 10 years, 45-minute commute to Zanesville, I stayed in Coshocton. And when I left Mideast to go to Washington County, which we then converted to Southeast Ohio Building Department as a name, the contractors and designers in the area stayed in contact and requested me to solicit the cities and the counties to try to come back to the area so that you'd have that personal contact with somebody who not only was your inspector for 10 years, but is also a lifelong resident of the community. So with that, Mayor, Council, I appreciate your time. If you have any questions, I'd be willing to answer them.
I have just a couple, then I'll open it up to Council. In our discussions with the county commissioners, you did talk a little bit about your rates. Can you expand on that just for briefly?
Our fee structure, I don't have a percentage in front of me, is a percentage higher. Mideast, unless they have raised their rates since I had left, you know, we are a little bit higher in that regard. So we do not have an outside Washington County fee. That was removed in 2018. And we do not expect any fee increases at any time soon because the fees were set when I took office, when we made the investment of almost $250,000 in the permitting software as well as the online electronic capabilities. So the county commissioners in Washington County absorb that cost. And we don't see any need to raise the fee structures in itself.
Another question I have. If you were successful in taking over the county, who would be your backup if you became ill or something happened to you?
Well, currently my backup is both Larry Richrick, who is a part-time Koshonka resident. He also lives in South Carolina, and as well as Nicholas Montaigne out of Tuscarawas County. And Nick is also electronically savvy in that regard. Our plans examiner folks, currently she lives in Ravenswood, West Virginia, and works electronically for us, and she can come to the office as necessary. And then we also have backups for her through both Mr. Richrick and Carl Lampling and Nicholas Montaigne.
Okay, and one other question I have for you. During our presentation with the county commissioners, there was a brief discussion about some future point exploring the possibility about residential compliance. Can you expand on that briefly?
Okay, so in the state of Ohio, there is the Residential Code of Ohio 2019. If a municipality chooses to have residential code enforcement, they are required to use the Residential Code of Ohio as their platform, which includes both the residential building official and inspectors. In the nine counties that I have been involved with, both with Mideast as well as Southeast Ohio Building Department, there's only two municipalities in those nine counties that have residential code enforcement, which would be the city of Zanesville, which is where Mideast is located, but is governed under the city of Zanesville's building department, as well as the city of Marietta. The city of Coshocton has their property maintenance code that they've passed, and they have been strongly looking into the residential code enforcement for about 3 years now, because that's how long we've been in discussion as to what to do and how, whether I had the jurisdiction or not. You know, I've got that personal relationship with the people that are in office and are looking at those things as to what to do. Now, would I suggest that? It's a yes-no answer, and I'm not going to sugarcoat that regards, because the fact is, rural Ohio would prefer you to not be involved with their private residence. However, in municipalities, folks have an understanding that when you live in the city, you have more oversight. The houses are closer together. So is the residential code a good idea? Yes. When I took over Marietta, I was not comfortable with, nor had I done a lot of residential inspection and review, because again, it was a part of Mideast's folder of what they do. But when I was out in the field and seeing, unfortunately, what homeowners or contractors, you know, the chuck with the truck, did to their homes, it made me very leery of the homes and the work that's being done in areas without residential code enforcement. When I've driven through some of the municipalities, you can kind of look at the deck addition and realize this doesn't look like a good idea. Would I suggest it for West Lafayette at a later date? I wouldn't suggest it as an immediate, as I did for Coshocton. It's something that you need to make the public aware before you make that quick step.
Okay, thank you. Any council members, I'll open it up to you if you have questions for Mr. Wilson. Anybody?
No.
Yep.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. Wilson. I appreciate your time and your presentation. We move on now to our incumbent, Jason Bauman with Mideast Ohio Building Department. Jason, if you would, please feel free to address the council.
Thank you. Appreciate everyone's time this evening. You could give us some packets of information. I'll get to those in a second. I would like to start by saying that the end product is the same whether you use Southeast or Mideast. Both departments are held to Chapter 1 of the Ohio Building Code. We have to follow the same steps. End product is the same. both have quality people working for both departments. End product will be the same. As of the, I would say, April of this year, we went live with our online plan submission, and we've been accepted online since then. We did beta testing through April, and it took us till April to get it to work the bugs out and turn that open, make that live for everyone. We have been partners with West Lafayette since 2000, June of 2000. I've been with this committee, so I've building department since 2012. Worked closely with the fire chief. I can't remember the name of the building that recently demoed. You guys had floods in your apartments last year. Tried to work with the contractors on that to make sure that people had bad enough time with flood, let alone oversight. We didn't want to hold things up. We want to make sure we get people back in our homes safe. So we've done our best to partner with West Lafayette. One of the things I'd like to share, I have in front of you in the packet, there's a green flyer. And so it's just some general information about, do I need a building permit? The most important information in there is, I must say four or five times, if you have questions, please call me. I'm a resource for you. I'm a resource for people in the county. They have questions about expanding. So this is something we like to share, and to be honest with you, my job is 40% of the time I spend on the phone talking to people who just aren't sure what they need to do, and it's my responsibility to help them through that. The other information that you have is fee schedules. I've kind of color-coded fee schedules between the two departments to give you an idea of what the difference is. And then I actually took and I went through I just picked a random project, a 2,500 square feet project that had a new build with electric and mechanical. And I figured the fees, you can see there's roughly 20% fee difference where ours is less. Again, I'll say that the end product is the same. And right now the cost to the public is 20% less with the department that's been with you for the last 20 years. Again, Chris wasn't wrong. 5 minutes, it's tough to summarize, but I think that does it. And if there's questions, I'd love to hear.
Just a couple questions for me, and then I'll open it up to council. What's your feeling on residential inspections?
The residential code and the commercial code are very different. The residential code tells you what you have to do, and the commercial code is more about approved drawings. You submit drawings to have them reviewed, and it's the drawings that give authority. And I think that provides a challenge. It makes a challenge to enforce. You have the inspector's knowledge on site is what can drive the code. I struggle with that. The other thing I struggle with is what Chris touched on, rural USA. They're not looking for oversight with what they're doing on their property. The other thing that I see is there are so many properties that if someone wanted to invest money and time and effort and fix them up, I would hate to impede that in any way. I wouldn't want someone to say, well, if I'm going to have to pay for a permit and then I'm going to have to schedule inspections, I'm just not going to fix this. And I think that there's a potential to run into that if you're not careful in your municipalities.
Okay. Have you ever considered satellite offices in adjoining counties?
I haven't, and here's why. I try to be as accessible as possible. And so I've got an extra set of wheels. So if someone calls and they need to see me, or if I need to put eyes on what they're talking about, I go get in those wheels and I go meet them. And so I can't be there in 10 minutes, but I can be there wherever I need to be to meet people. And it's not uncommon for that to happen. We're online now, and especially with COVID, it seems like the traffic in the office has been cut down significantly. Now, there are still people that, you know, want to come, and I encourage that. And again, if they can't and I have to come to them, I do. But I have not entertained opening a satellite office. And the other thing that I don't want to do, and I just, fact of the matter is, there's a cost to that. I got to man that office. I have to, you know, rent that office. And there's a cost to that that I'm not looking to pass on to anyone. So I try to keep our fee schedule as low as we can. We try to be as minimal in staffing as we can. And so if I can avoid taking on additional cost, I'm going to try to do that.
All right. One last question. What's your staff like? Are you a lone ranger, or do you have a much larger staff?
No, we have two inspectors, which has essentially been the staff for the 20 years that we've been a building department with you. We have a structural mechanical inspector, and we have an electrical inspector. I'm the backup for the structural. We also partner with the city of Zanesville. I have a backup with Tim Smith. I am the building official, and I am the master plan examiner. And then I have two office staff to their tasks, essentially the first point of contact for the public.
All right, thank you. I'll open it up to council members. Any council members have questions?
No.
Anybody? All right, Jason, thank you very much. Mr. Wilson, Jason, this ends the comment period. You're welcome to stay and listen to the balance of the meeting as we go through our agenda. All right, again, thank you. Moving on now to the department reports, fire department.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
September fire report, two building fires, luckily neither one was ours. One was in Baltic and one was in Newcomerstown. We had three motor vehicle accidents with injuries, three accidents without injuries. Dispatch and canceled route for one, no incident found on one, and two authorized control burning calls. For a total of 12 in September. Village West Lafayette was three, Lafayette Township four, Oxford one, White Eyes one, and three calls out of the district. Year to date, we are at 130 calls. Last year at this time, we were 147. 89 firefighters responded for a total of 66.99 hours, 24 hours on vehicle maintenance, 30 hours on portable equipment, and 66 on training, for a total of 186.99. September payroll was $890. Payroll year to date, we are at $11,490. Fire loss year to date, $420,310. Last year was $368,000. Any questions on that? Heads up for you, Mayor. Next meeting, you'll need to appoint your staff for the fire dependency board. We did ours Wednesday night at our meeting. It'll be Deputy Chief Hill and one of the other firefighters. We'll get that to Amy, so she'll have that for the paperwork.
Okay.
Coming through soon. Rescue struts and cribbing arrived last week. It's being installed on the truck this evening. We've got some training. We're working out with Finland Fire. Most of us have seen it or used that type of stuff before, so we're not very good at getting it in service. Had a couple training videos come along with it. Younger guys have watched that, so we're in good shape there. One other thing, last Wednesday night in our meeting with the retirement of Dallas Hill, shore up my command staff a little bit. We promoted Brandon Bradford and Chad Gallagher to captain. And we have one opening for a lieutenant. I'm waiting on interest on that, and we'll sit down and interview and decide who to award that to.
Okay.
Other than that, I think that is it.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions? Okay, fiscal officer.
We have on the agenda tonight the third and final reading of 2020-63, the ordinance for the pay and benefits schedule. So just so you know, that's on there for the reading tonight. Also, I have resolution 2020-71, and I need that to reduce funds by a small amount of $56 for the police levy fund. So I made an addition error in there, and I have too much appropriated. And just so I can get the budget to balance out for the rest of the year, I need to have that reduced. Ordinance 2020-73 is also on the table tonight, and if you recall at our last meeting, I had presented to council the proposal to give the Ridgeville local schools $10,000 so that they could purchase the Chromebooks. So over the past couple weeks since we met last, I've had a lot of communication with Julie and her looking for wording on the resolution ordinance, just to get that all in place. And after all of her thorough research, we landed with this ordinance here authorizing to donate the $10,000 to the school for the purchase of the Chromebooks. And there will be an agreement that will have the school sign, and our officers here will sign that as well, as a sub-grant rather than just doing a contract with our guys in the last meeting. So that's what this ordinance is on the table for. And I am going to ask that you waive the three readings on that, just so that you can get that taken care of before our timeline is up in order to spend that COVID money. Other than that, we had a finance meeting tonight, and I did present the end of month cash summary for September, and we also discussed the proposed budget for 2021. So there's still a little bit of work, the tweaks that will need to be done on that, but I'll be making the final presentation for that next month, I believe. And I'd also like to request an ordinance meeting when it comes time for that an ordinance committee meeting so that we can take a look at the allocations for the payroll. Bills have been passed around for approval, and that's all I have.
Okay, under police department, police chief is not with us today, so I'm going to go ahead and present his report. I'm also going to talk about some COVID things that parts police, parts fire, and some other issues within the village as well. So under the police department, adult calls are 83, one juvenile call, one complaint, 29 follow-ups, 7 criminal arrests, 37 traffic stops, 26 warnings, 14 traffic arrests, 4 accidents, 0 felonies, 1,746 miles driven, and they consumed 497.68 gallons of fuel. Now, other issues with the police department, and it's also tied into finance. We have received, or about to receive, $83,000 of additional COVID funds that is pretty restricted on what we can use it for. And I had a staff meeting last week and reviewing the possibilities. We have basically 4 areas that we're wanting to address. The first is the most expensive area, and you all have in your packets a packet from the police chief and dealing with a cruiser. And we've determined that we can use the COVID money for a third cruiser. The Crown Vic has been sidelined for quite some time now. And I'm going to read the vehicle proposal that the chief has provided me with. And then we can have some discussion on that one. Again, this is something that can be used, the COVID funds can be used for. The vehicle purchase proposal was a 2021 Chevy Silverado 1500 SSV. The intent of this proposal is to inform and submit to the mayor and village council an informed document to purchase, implement, and put into rotation a pickup truck patrol vehicle for the police department. The advantages of having a truck in the vehicle rotation are as follows. We already have two passenger vehicles that are in excellent condition but have limitations for certain functions compared to a truck. The need for a third vehicle is greater than anticipated. We have already had numerous incidents where a third vehicle was needed and not available. School functions, road construction details, training exercises, current vehicles out of service for maintenance, plus the addition of a third vehicle will reduce the stress of use and extend the life of the fleet. The truck will allow us to haul road barricades without the need to take an employee off the street department away from their duties. This has already occurred. We would be able to assist the street department during and after storms with removal of storm debris. This has also occurred. The truck would operate better during inclement weather such as heavy snow or flooding due to the vehicle's increased ground clearance. We would be able to haul large or numerous items of evidence. The truck would be a four-door model that would still be functional as a patrol and transporting prisoners and passengers to no different from the passenger vehicles. The addition of an inexpensive animal crate would give us the capability of to transport or contain animals if needed versus the potential of an animal damaging a passenger vehicle. We would be able to transport multiple personnel to the scene if needed. A truck would provide greater towing capacity than the current vehicle if needed. The truck provides more interior room, which would be better for taller or larger officers. The truck would diversify the fleet of vehicles to provide the department with advantages that we currently do not have. The truck would be better during parades and public events for community policing purposes. Trucks provide a better resale value when it comes time again to replace the vehicles. The cost of purchasing the truck is approximately $2,000 less than another Tahoe. There are numerous reasons to diversify our vehicles at the police department. The addition of trucks in law enforcement and public safety is not a new concept. Nearly every agency across the nation has added these vehicles to their fleets, including the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office. The addition of this vehicle will solidify the fleet for quite a long time. As always, it is my intention to bring our police department into the era of the 21st century policing and maintain a high level of service to the village and its residents. If we add another passenger vehicle to the police department, we will lose the advantage that we do not currently have. The truck will serve as a patrol vehicle in exactly the same manner as a passenger vehicle and give us the capability to improve our service to the village. Most of us have trucks for our personal vehicles. We have them because we need them when need arises. They are a must to have. There is no different for a police department. We either have a truck at our disposal or we borrow equipment from the street department or other law enforcement agency. I've already used my personal truck to haul items for the department, and I know that Sergeant Cochran has done so as well. The bottom line is that this is equipment that we can put to great use, and it is my recommendation to move forward with the purchase. Behind that, you have the quote for the vehicle, which is $34,896.22, and we'll have approximately $10,000 to outfit that truck with the protective cages, lights, so on and so forth. So the chief has asked us to pursue that. Again, there would be no direct cost to the village at all. It would come out of the COVID fund. The other things that we want to look at the fall in line with the COVID funds, we want to finish out the rest of the village with touchless faucets, commodes, hand drying equipment. Here in council, we want to spend probably around $1,000. I don't know, Adrian, has he produced a quote yet for that?
No.
That'll probably come tomorrow or Wednesday. But we want to put a permanent fixture on the ceiling and put a camera up there and have the village own its own microphones and mixers because you're using my equipment now. And based on the viewership from our live streaming this out on Facebook, We're getting anywhere from 350, and we've had as high as 640 viewers, and COVID money can be used for this as well, so we'd like to do that. And then the fire department has, along with our enhanced 911, and David, please feel free to speak if I miss anything, and we could enhance it to make it similar to the CAD system that's in the police cruisers. And that's about a $10,000 cost. All this would come under that $83,000 that's being given to us for COVID relief. So at some point, I'll entertain a motion either as a group. I'm certain some of this will take an ordinance, like for the police cruisers, so on and so forth, to do that. But I'd like your any discussion on those projects or a motion to approve them as a group and then handle them individually as it comes time to order them.
I think they're all good ideas.
I do too.
We've got the opportunity to really run our police department's fleet up, you know, this time almost no cost.
Absolutely.
There's no cost.
So I think it would behoove us to do so there. Going touchless and me, I think we just approve them all.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Any more discussion? I'll entertain a motion then to approve we'll start with the fire department's $10,000 investment in the enhanced 911, the completion of the touchless facilities, the police department cruiser pickup truck, and the council live streaming equipment. Do I have a motion to that effect?
Well, let me make sure I get this written out.
That's what I was going to say. Okay, who remembered all of that?
Fire department enhanced 911.
Yep.
Police truck.
Police vehicle truck.
Mm-hmm.
Touchless.
Touchless controls for village restrooms.
And council live streaming equipment.
Council live streaming equipment, right?
Yep.
Make a motion to approve the purchase of the enhanced 911 system for the fire department, a new police cruiser pickup truck, touchless upgrades for village restrooms, and council live streaming equipment.
Second.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Wardenberger?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Okay, that's all we got for police department. Solicitor, Julie.
Hi there. The only thing I think I'll independently report on this evening is regarding the four cases we filed in the Coshocton County Municipal Court on August 6th relating to the property ordinance violations with respect to junk motor vehicles or dilapidated buildings and litter on the properties, et cetera. We had two cases where the defendants pled guilty and were required to pay fines, so that's in process, so those cases are done. And there were two defendants of the four that pled not guilty. One of the defendants came into compliance with the ordinances since the complaint was filed and went into contact with the village administrator to report that, and the village administrator reported to me that in fact the property was in compliance. So that was the goal. That is the goal, to get the properties in compliance. So we did file a dismissal this morning of that particular case since they came into compliance with the ordinances. The other case, we are set for trial on October 21, and we expect that to go forward. So I will be working with the village administrator to prepare for that. And that will end my report for this evening.
All right, thank you. Village administrator.
You're welcome.
No report. I'm just kidding.
He said it, let's go.
I issued four more unsightly, unsanitary, dilapidated, and junk motor vehicles. Citations today delivered by the police department, and they will go out registered mail since today's the mail didn't go today because it's a holiday, so they will go out certified mail tomorrow.
We do. Did start with four more today. Longstanding dilapidated structure located at 216 East Main Street. Began demolition today, so I'm not sure if you noticed that or not, but the home located at 216 East Main Street is on the ground, and they will be in the cleanup phase of that demolition over the next couple of days, and they say by the weekend it'll be gone. So I know that that's been in the works for a while, but I found the owner of the property extremely cooperative and very forthcoming in her plans, and I really appreciate the compliance and cooperation and getting that going on the ground. So that project's wrapping up. Coshocton Water Project update. This is on the mayor's Facebook page as well as the village website. I also put it in you guys' packet this evening. But for the general public that is unaware, Tucson's going to be finishing up the new water line installation Monday and Tuesday of this week on 7th Street. Then they will move to 5th Street and work the rest of the week as soon as they get 7th Street done. They're skipping 6th Street. They're going to start 6th Street the week of the 19th because it requires additional boring and the bore equipment will be available to the 19th. So they'll get 7th Street done this week, 5th Street, and then they'll move on to 6th Street on the 19th. Solicitation. We have a solicitation license that was granted. It is for IGS Energy. IGS Energy is a supplier of residential and commercial electricity and natural gas. Their solicitation license goes into effect on October 22nd. Remember the ordinance that you guys passed a few weeks ago. After they fill out the application, the police chief does a background check, they submit it to me, they pay their fee, and the license can go into effect no sooner than 10 days following the next regularly scheduled council meeting, which is this evening. So, for those members of the general public that are listening, and for the media, beginning October the 22nd, for 30 days, IGS Energy is an approved solicitor within our community. Now, if you do not wish for them to come to your door, part of the ordinance that was passed, all you need is this in your front door. 3 inches by four, this is actually 3 by 6, but it has to be 3 inches by 4 inches. The writing has to be at least 1/3 of an inch in height, which this is a little bit larger than that. But this is all the bigger sign you need. And this one's actually a little bit longer than it needs to be. But if you put this in your front door, the law and the ordinance, they will knock on your door. So it needs to say no solicitors invited. For your convenience, we have these free of charge in the village administrative office. You can pick them up. I do plan to give a few to the police department in case we're closed. You can grab them there, or you can make your own. Paving was completed last week by Melway Paving. The only street, the part of our 2020 paving that did not get done was King Street, and it's because the Coshocton Water Project is going to have at least 3 of those intersections cut and ripped up. So I spoke with the mayor about it, talked with Fred Boitel about it, and we decided it would be money better spent than rather than to go ahead and pave it and then have the water line cut it. And you know what that would look like forever. It's just you'll never get it to match. So we're going to do that after the Coshocton water line is completed. So next spring, it'll be one of the first things on the agenda to get done, and that will be independent of the paving that we do in 2021. So King Street will need to wait until after the Coshocton water project. before. We've had plenty of meetings on this, whether it be public works or ordinance. Julie has gone over this painstakingly, has produced a wonderful product for us. I am going to ask for a single reading this evening, just so you know, with intent. I might ask you guys to consider waiting the rules next meeting, but tonight it's going to get a first reading. But we want to start accepting septic haulers in the village. And with it, I attached the application that they will have to fill out. And if they are granted permission, I gave you a copy of what their permit will look like. So if you have any questions of that between now and next meeting, please get with me offline and I'll fill you in and we'll go from there. And then finally, tomorrow, the mayor and I and our operator of record and Ryan will be attending a meeting here in council chambers with the owner of Pearl Valley Cheese, the county commissioners, and the county engineer. And we will be talking about the final steps and the progress that we've made over the last 3 months to assume control and ownership of the Force County sewer main that goes from Pearl Valley Cheese, picks up Fresno, and comes to the village. So that's been a pretty long, painstaking process, but we've made great headway. And tomorrow, in here tomorrow morning, we're going to have a meeting with all those folks and try to hammer out the final details. So there'll be more to come on that next council meeting. Do you have any questions for me? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Very good. Let's move on to committee reports. Buildings and property?
Nothing at this time.
Community and business development?
Nothing at this time.
Community relations?
Nothing at this time.
Finance?
Finance met tonight. Finances look good. I need approval for the month end for September, please.
Motion to approve the month end of September.
Second.
Ordenberger?
Yes.
Maurer?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yes.
And we worked on the 2021 budget. Things are looking very good with that. And we will have another meeting in November. And that's all.
Okay. One thing that I might mention in finance, things that we looked at very closely was the impact on the loss of the water revenue and how everything else was going to work out. And we felt comfortable, I think pretty comfortable, coming out of this COVID issue with financially with very little loss to us at this time. And I don't want to speak for Chris, but I believe the committee felt that we, with what we're working on in the budget, is that we'll be able to put forward a 2% increase across the board with everyone. So that's all I have to offer there. Our attendance board, Damon's addressed any concerns there. Ordinance?
No, nothing at this time.
Park board, Ronnie's not here. Anybody else from the park board have anything to offer?
No.
We did have some more vandalism over there. We had some spotlights that were taken out and smashed into the ground. So that's fixed, and we are watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Planning commission, Ron's not here to report on that. Public safety?
Nothing at this time.
Public works?
Nothing at this time.
Nothing from records retention, nothing from rules, zoning, and building codes.
We met on the 6th and continue to work on redoing the zoning and building codes. We should have, at the next meeting, the updated definitions done, and we'll present them to everybody so they can have them for review.
Okay. All right, let's go into our ordinances and resolution. Okay, first up is Ordinance 2020-63. This will be the third reading. Ordinance 2020-63, an ordinance establishing the 2020 pay and benefit schedule for the village of West Lafayette, repealing ordinance and resolutions in conflict therewith.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Fortune?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Wurtenberger?
Yes.
Chaney?
Yes.
Mauer?
Yes.
Okay, next up is resolution 2020-71, does contain the emergency clause. It's a resolution to amend the 2020 permanent appropriations ordinance 2019-57, reducing funds, and the fiscal officer has already addressed this.
Motion to suspend the rules and waive the required three readings.
Second.
Bauer?
Yes.
Chaney?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Wurtenberger?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Fortune?
Yes.
Wurtenberger?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Chaney?
Yes.
Mauer?
Yes.
Okay, next up is resolution 2020-72. And does contain the emergency clause. Resolution 2020-72, a resolution stating the appointment of the village police officer, Larice Manns, and declaring an emergency. Larice has completed the 6 month probation and like to make his appointment final.
Motion to suspend the rules and the three required readings for resolution 2020-72.
Second.
Taney?
Yes.
Mauer?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yes.
Wurtenberger?
Yes. Motion to approve.
Second.
Wurtenberger?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Mauer?
Yes.
Chaney?
Yes.
Next up, ordinance 2020-73, an ordinance authorizing a donation in the amount of $10,000 to the Ridgewood Local School District. Said sum from the local coronavirus relief fund, authorizing the mayor and the fiscal officers to enter into a sub-grant agreement with the Ridgewood Local School District and declare an emergency.
Motion to suspend the rules and three required readings for ordinance 2020-73.
Second.
Chaney?
Yes.
Wurtenberger?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yes.
Mauer?
Yes. Motion to adopt.
Second.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Chaney?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Mauer?
Yes.
Wurtenberger?
Yes.
Next up, this is the first reading of ordinance 2020-74, an ordinance permitting and regulating the receipt of hauled domestic septage at the village of West Lafayette wastewater treatment plant and declaring an emergency. That's the first reading. Okay, under other business, we had a presentation tonight, two presentations, one from Chris Wilson from Southeast Ohio Building Department, and then one from Jason Bauman, Mid-East Ohio Building Department, our incumbent and commercial inspector. Is there any discussion? The county has asked me to bring this back and revisit with council to see what your position was on it. Is there any interest in making a change? Any discussion to be had?
If I could just throw in there, you know, we've had them for 20 years. I haven't had the opportunity to work on any large projects with our current know, I know we have a long-standing relationship with them. What little interaction I have had with them has been extremely positive, extremely cooperative. What I like about him is he understands our codes. He understands our mindset. When you're a code enforcement official, and the fire chief can speak to this, you know, and with my history of enforcing codes, there's always two mindsets. We can walk into a place and we can look at a set of plans and we can do everything within the code to keep it from going or to keep it from opening or to close it down. And then there's a mindset that we look at the same set of drawings and the same code violations and we do everything we can to cooperate with the individual to keep them open, to grant them the certificate of occupancy, and to determine things, de minimis violations, such and such. And I think that Mideast has that mindset. And that's the mindset that we really need in our village right now. We have a very strong, dilapidated building, unsightly and unsanitary, junk motor vehicles. I think I've been able to prove to you guys that we're enforcing that very well. I guess the old adage says if it's not squeaking or if it's not broke, why are we going to throw oil on it? And then the last thing I'd like to add in, the even hint at going to a residential building code, in my personal opinion, would be a tremendous mistake in our village. I would rather enforce the codes under, basically we have a property maintenance code without having one, with our unsightly and unsanitary, dilapidated and junk motor vehicles. We do not want a residential building code, in my opinion, in this community. When somebody in our community wants to put a new roof on their house, we don't want them to have a permit and a fee to put shingles on their house. When they want to put new siding on their house, or they want to update the electrical, we need to, if need be, buy the electrical boxes for them. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to discourage people from doing upgrades for permit fees, having to have electrical inspectors and everything. So I do not like the direction that this is feeling like it's going. And then the other slight injustice, I think, on the presentations was, you know, we have this desire to make everything countywide. Well, right now it is. It's Mideast. Everybody in the county uses Mideast except for two entities, Plainfield and Warsaw. Conesville. Plainfield and Conesville, and they use the state. They don't use the competing agency. So if we're interested in going countywide, we already are, except for those two entities. So that's my feedback. I don't know if the fire chief has anything. He's worked with Mideast before, but you know, that's my feedback. And the other thing is the fee structure, 20%. That's a big deal. And that's only on a 2,500 square foot project. So that's my input. I think we'll stay where we're at.
I got the same feelings as everybody else. We've been using them for 20 years. Mideast bends over backwards to come up and help us. They were here throughout the flood ordeal, did everything they could do to get structures back where they needed to be. The residential codes, like he made in his statements, some of that will force people not to fix their houses and just snowball the effects we have now with dilapidated structures.
And, you know, we're 53% of low water income here. We're going to add real costs. I just don't see it.
It ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. Stay with what we've got. Okay?
Good to know. We didn't need a presentation tonight. We're not having issues.
No.
Yeah.
So. We all agree when it ain't broke, we're not going to fix it.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep. We don't need a motion, we're not going to change anything, so any more discussion on that topic.
Nope.
I will communicate back to the other entities that we have no interest. Okay, just a reminder, trick or treat's coming up the 31st from 5 to 6:30. I sent some committee
committee meetings, I don't have any other business unless somebody else does.
Ordinance 20th or the 22nd. I can't do the 22nd.
Well, I guess it's the 20th.
What time?
What time can you be here?
Me?
Yeah.
Six, what time? 5, 6? I make any one. Amy?
I'm here on that.
I can be here as early as 4.
I can't be here at 4. They're making 5. I can
5?
Be here. Yeah.
Ordinance the 20th at 5 p.m.
Finance. Ready? Finance, November the 9th at 6, Amy? Or 6:30? Okay, so finance, November 9th at 6.
And zoning and building. You want to do it after the ordinance or you want to do it a separate day?
When was that ordinance meeting?
The 20th at 5.
That's a day I don't have anything going on.
Chris?
You do now. Yeah, I mean,
six.
You sat 3 of them up on me last week, so.
Yeah, but our
walk in the park.
But our zonings are like 2, that's how long they are.
Yeah. So we want to go to 6 o'clock?
Yep.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Since somebody thinks they have the bowl.
One once, one twice, wrong. This is what I got. Finance, November 9th at 6 o'clock p.m. Ordinance, October 20th at 5 p.m. Zoning and building codes, October 20th at 6 o'clock p.m. Okay, that's what it is. Bills been around?
Yes, sir.
Motion to pay the bills.
Second.
Wheeler?
Yep.
Fortune?
Yes.
Hornkirker?
Yes.
Bauer?
Yes.
Taney?
Yes. Okay, any other business coming for council?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Taney?
Yes.
Mauer?
Yes.
Weinberger?
Yes.
Fortune?
Yes.
Wheeler?
Yep.
We're adjourned.
Oh, holy cow.